2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and, of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
This is the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. And who doesn't want to do that? You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and Joe Galewski. I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. Our number to get on the air here today is 877-711-5211. That's a phone. Email is udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com. Welcome to a brand new affiliate for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, radio station KVSF. Yes, KVSF 101.5 in beautiful Santa Fe, Mexico. I've never been there, but I hear it's nice. So,
well, I have been there.
I'm sure.
I have been there, Joe, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a wonderful place, and there probably is no more what I would call interest in an ardent and vibrancy and culture than in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's a great city.
Well, we're glad to have them as a listener and an affiliate of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, KVSF 101.5 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. How about Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour? What are the topics today?
Well, one of the topics is that dentist in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Arthur was on the medical board of the state of New Jersey for 10 years, and he obviously runs a practice, maybe it's not obvious, has several practices in plastic or cosmetic surgery, and he can tell you when he goes to another doctor's office or dentist's office what he looks for to make sure he's going to be treated safely and that the practice at least will do no harm like this apparent rogue dentist may have done. So you'll have some secrets from Dr. Perry on what he does. And the other is he's going to talk about that doctor who was charged with manslaughter for doing liposuction on a heart transplant patient. And what, again, you should look for when you see another doctor and what ways you can make sure you're going to be protected that doctor is looking out for yourself. So he will be doing that. And he's also going to talk about oily skin and how you prevent oily or how you protect yourself from oily skin.
Straight talk from the docs. Dr. Arthur Perry, 34 past the hour. A real age tip our listeners can look forward to, right?
Right. Four surprising ways to keep your brain sharp.
Okay.
Four surprising ways that you can use to keep your brain sharp. And, Joe, one of them relates to, now I shouldn't say this, but, we'll save it for the last. I don't want to give it away early on one of those four surprising ways. But one of those surprising ways is something you do every day, so you'll have to listen to us.
Okay, I will. The Real Age Tip before the end of the hour. Udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. The Supreme Court this week debating gay marriage, Proposition 8 from California, and the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, this week. And nobody can read anything other than we'll wait for June and a decision from the Supreme Court, which way that goes. The fate of this, right, will it influence public health care?
You know, one of the interesting things, I was really surprised by this story, which is a study that was done comparing the 15 states, health and of same-sex couples in the 15 states where there is same-sex marriage allowed versus the, I think it is, the 35 states, if I'm adding my addition, I don't know whether it's 35 states and two prefecturates like D.C. and Puerto Rico, which aren't states but are counted, but that don't allow it. And they found that same-sex couples were considerably healthier and had to go to the physician less often because they did have insurance, because they were probably taking care of themselves better. in those 15 states. Now, obviously, this is an association. We don't know a cause and effect, but it was interesting that health care would get better in the states where there was safe same-sex marriage allowed. And I don't know how good, I have not read the original part of that study because it was only published in abstract form. But it seems quite interesting to me.
Well, it's going to take a while to analyze all of this.
Why do the decisions always wait till June? Couldn't they release a decision earlier than that?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of cases take quite a while to write, and the decisions and dissenting decisions, and I think they do that because they don't want to take the heat, because once they render the decision in June, then the session is over for the year. They don't come back again to the fall. So I think that's one of the reasons why. Three of the justices did say, though, that, they were reluctant to rule on it because, same-sex marriage is relatively new and there's not been a lot of, empirical evidence to judge whether or not, whatever factors go into, couples being able to marry, same-sex couples being able to marry. And I'm sure with regard to the health issue, with this case, that's probably going to take years and years to analyze whether or not, their health costs will be less from that. But we'll have to wait and see on that. Here's a pediatric story, one of the top medical stories of the week about infants. The CDC says infants are fed solid food too soon. How about some details on that story?
Jeff, you want to try that?
Yes, I'd love to try that. So the American Academy of Pediatrics, a body that I just got my boards from, says that babies should be fed nothing but breast milk for 6 months. And there's data that suggests that the longer a baby is breastfed, the better a number of outcomes will be. So IQ is higher, rate of infections are lower, rate of obesity is lower. And so the CDC did a survey to see how many American mothers were sort of following this recommendation. And they found that around 40% gave their baby solid food before 4 months, and 9% started as early as 4 weeks. So the breast milk recommendations are meant to sort of as a preventive measure for health, but we also recommend no formula until around 6 months, and that's because we think babies are not really ready to handle it as far as their ability to control their mouth, specific solid foods, and particularly things like Cheerios that they might choke on. And what the data in the study said was that economics were a factor in deciding to introduce the solid foods too soon. So it turns out that Cheerios are cheaper than formula, and that's not a surprise. And they found that the women who tended to be in the group that fed their baby solid foods earlier were more likely to be younger and less educated and more likely to be single.
What about the baby's digestive system if a baby were to be put on solid foods too soon? Does that affect the digestive system? Is it too early for the baby to digest the solid food if it's too quick?
So that's a great question. We think probably they can actually the digestion itself, so the obtaining of nutrients, we think is probably okay, but we think that it increases their risk of sort of food allergies, and then as well as eczema, and then celiac disease, which is sort of a form of a food allergy. And we think that they can get nutrients from the food, but we think that they don't, that it may harm their digestive health overall because they haven't developed the proper gut bacteria.
Why are moms quick to want to get off breastfeeding?
So, breastfeeding requires that you either pump or be present to breastfeed. So it is work intensive. But even in the study, they not only did they stop breastfeeding early, but they also stopped formula feeding or introduced solid foods earlier. And formula we think of as being pretty much almost as easy to use as solid food, although it is a little bit less portable.
All right, we'll be back with more of the top medical stories of the week coming up. Global warming. What are the consequences of global warming? Maybe one of these consequences you're not aware of. How many people will be cancer survivors, say, 10 years from now? And is there a link between vaccines, too many vaccines, and autism? And we have a germaphobe alert we'll tell you about coming up as well. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet-related. Cleansing opens a door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's D-H-E-R-B-S.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only one in five girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galuski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. A couple of issues the Supreme Court dealing with. The one we were talking about before the break, the gay marriage issue. Also, the court struggled this week with whether it should allow federal officials to challenge deals between pharmaceutical companies and their generic drug competition that the government says would keep cheaper forms of medicine off the market for longer periods of time. Pay-for-delay deals, or what they call reverse settlements. So these deals come up when generic companies file a challenge at the FDA to the patents that give brand-name drugs a 20-year monopoly. And brand-name drug makers then usually sue the generic companies, which sets up what could be years of expensive litigation. Keeping these generics off the market, Dr. Mike, is that a bad idea?
Well, I think it's a bad idea for consumers, and it seems to me that it's a bad idea for the entire system, because what it seems to do is continue monopolies and raise prices. Now, I don't know enough about it. I can't even figure out how they did it or how it works. But one of the things the drug companies say, but this potential allows them to develop more drugs that would not be blockbusters, but would be for lesser indications, and thus to help overall with innovation in medicine. And I don't know how to balance those two things. I'm not intelligent enough to balance it, but my own feeling is that if that we need to have, you know, drug prices as low as possible after the patent expires, rather than deals to keep the patent in place. The other part of this is it seems to me that one of the things we need to do with the law, though, is say maybe certain entities such as antibiotics, which don't have a huge return and which we're desperately short of because of the new superbugs, maybe we ought to do something with patents for those, or some elongation or some way of supporting those items. And I don't, you know, I'm not smart enough to know the process, but I can tell you I'm unhappy that patents on drugs can get extended so easily.
Well, that's one of the reasons why some people don't take a drug, because it's so expensive. And the case I'm thinking about is shingles, the shingles vaccine, which is pretty expensive. And the American Medical Association says these pay-for-delay deals profit the drug companies but harm consumers by adding another $3.5 billion every year to their drug bills.
I am not happy about it at all either. So I don't know what to, I don't know the right balance, and I have no idea how they got away with this, if you will.
No, I think it's the wrong thing. I think you've got to provide the consumer with the ability to, take, if they need to take a medicine, and to get it at a reasonable cost. How many millions of Americans will be cancer survivors, say, by 2022?
Well, this is actually quite amazing, if you will. It's I think it's 18 million will be cancer survivors, the majority through breast cancer and prostate cancer. The interesting thing is, although lung cancer is the most common cancer in both men and women, only 3% of the survivors will be lung cancer, which just shows you how potent tobacco is as a killer.
Well, we have a cure by 2022. I guess from what you're saying, we won't have a cure by that time.
For what?
Cancer.
Oh, you only hope. Cancer is a whole bunch of different diseases, and so I doubt we will have a overall cure. What we've really learned, Joe, and this is the most profound thing I can say, is we've learned that 80% of our genome is switches that turn our genes on and off. That is 80% of our DNA is switches. And we're learning in one of the top medical news stories this week.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That, in fact, there are a number of new regions on the DNA that can promote colon, prostate, and breast and ovarian cancer. So four big cancers. And what we'll learn about is how to control these switches. I don't know if we'll get it by 2022, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to learn how to turn switches on and off by 2030 in big ways. We already know that what lifestyle changes do, what exercise does, what eating healthy food does and avoiding unhealthful food, avoiding those five food fountains, what tobacco does and what stress management does is turn on genes that promote health and turn off genes that promote disease. And they do it profoundly. A huge number of genes get changed by lifestyle choices. And so, I think we'll also have specific drugs and specific foods that do that more than just the broccolis and the cruciferous vegetables we now know turn off the genes for breast cancer.
Would it be more of a possibility of finding, have more people be cured from cancer by healthier lifestyle more so than waiting for a cure medically?
Well, right now we know that you can prevent a lot of these things and reverse a lot of them by changing which of your genes are on or not by your lifestyle choices. So right now that's a pretty profound statement that we've been learning. And my guess is that we will continue to understand more about turning these switches off. But right now, we know the most profound thing, avoiding those five food felons, choosing healthful foods, doing a little physical activity every day, managing your stress, because everyone will have stress, and, of course, the most important is avoiding tobacco and tobacco products.
Dr. Arthur Perry in 8 minutes, Straight Talk from the Docs every week. That'll be at 34 past the hour. Before we go to that, how about the germaphobe alert for this week? You can create superbugs. Really, we have that power.
Well, the problem is by taking small doses of antibiotics consistently, we select for bugs that are not affected by antibiotics, which is what they call superbugs. And we're doing that gradually and increasingly. And the problem is the superbugs, we don't have antibiotics, we don't have treatments for. One of the most interesting stories of the week was about a bacteria that's been found in a study at UCLA or Los Angeles, which is associated with weight gain. And this association with weight gain is a bacteria that many of us have. It's about 15 pounds more, and we think it just metabolizes food that you otherwise would just pass through you unabsorbed, so it gives you extra calories if you have this bacteria. And it may be that an antibiotic or a probiotic, that is hopefully a healthier bacteria, can kick this Methanobrevibacter smithy out of your system so that you can lose weight. You can get a test for that now and see if you should get treatment for it, but it is a cause of weight gain, or at least is associated with weight gain. And so a very fascinating story. One article on it, not a lot, but one article on it.
I want to ask you to say that name again, okay? I don't want you to try to fall over yourself by saying that name, whatever that name is.
Thank you very much. It's Methanobrevibacter smithy.
Oh, you did it. You did it. I'm proud of you. Fantastic. Okay, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Need a phone call to us, 877-711-5211. Stay with us. Time for Straight Talk from the Docs. Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry and another Real Age Tip of the Week is coming up before the end of the hour. We thank you for listening. You, the Owner's Emmanuel Radio Show on Radio MD.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Yeah. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business. I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Young Dr. Perry, fantastically interesting week. There was a dentist who apparently didn't keep things very sterile in his office. Why the heck would that ever happen? Why would anyone do that? They can infect themselves when they touch themselves with one of those things, which is probably the most likely person they are to infect, right?
Well, Mike, you know, this is such a terrible story. Terrible story. And, you know, and it's hit the headlines. So everyone listening to our broadcast today probably has already seen some of this on the national news, because there's that dentist in Tulsa who apparently has not been sterilizing his instruments. And it's just incredible, Mike. Apparently 7,000 dental patients over many years now have to be tested for hepatitis A and
B and C. He's got to have other employees in his practice, right? He's not a single guy. He's got to have dental hygienists and dental assistants. Why the heck wouldn't they have done it? What's this thing about not speaking out?
Well, and it's interesting you say that. You know, there's laws in every state, Mike, that require licensed health professionals, such as nurses, such as licensed dental assistants and dental hygienists, to actually turn in turn in people who are in violation of the law. Now, of course, you know, you might be feel that your job is in jeopardy, but there's a limit to that. And when you see someone doing something as flagrant as this, then you have to step up to the plate and protect the public. There could be a lot of people that will die because of this guy. And, you know, I was on the State Board of Medical Examiners in New Jersey for 10 years, Mike, you know that. And we had cases like this.
Let's look at it from the patient's standpoint. I'm going to a dentist, a podiatrist. What should I do to make sure my guy or lady is not a rogue like this guy? What questions do I ask? What observations do I make to make sure I'm not going to be at risk? Let's talk to the listeners. Tell our listeners what they can do.
Okay, now, every dentist and every physician should be sterilizing their instruments with what is called an autoclave. That's an instrument, a machine that applies heat and pressure to the dental and medical instruments.
So what does the patient look for with the auto? Do they ask where's the autoclave? Do they look for something on the instruments? Are they in plastic covers with an autoclave symbol? How do they know this?
Okay, it's very difficult, but I think when you begin with a new physician, particularly a dentist, I think it is a very fair thing to ask the dentist, ask the office staff how he or she sterilizes his or her instruments. That's one. But then, Mike, when a dentist opens up sterile instruments, they do peel them in what's called a peel pack. And these are, people are going to have to identify these and learn what these look like, because you need to really watch your dentist. Unfortunately, in a perfect world, you wouldn't have to. But I guess it's not a perfect world, and things like this happen. So you want to witness the opening of sterile instruments. It's a peel pack. It's clear on one side, and it is paper on the other side. And the instruments will be sterile inside that. If they're not coming out of a peel pack, if the doctor or the dentist is taking instruments from a drawer, for instance, I would walk or maybe even run out of that office as quickly as it can, even if he's already numbed you up. Get out of there. You know, you don't want to be exposed to non-sterile instruments.
So one of the things is to ask specifically, let me see the peel pack. And so you've got to see what he calls a peel pack. And then you say, let me see the date on that peel pack. Or how do you identify if something's sterile or not? I've got a friend in the business, Dr. Arthur Perry, who says I should always look at the peel pack before I do anything else.
That's
so
right.
So blame it on you and me. I've got a friend named young Dr. Mike, who's getting old fast. So his new Twitter follower is Dr. Mike Roizen, and he's getting old enough fast enough, so that's what his name is. But I follow him at Dr. Mike Roizen, and he said, always look for the peel pack. And his buddy in kind, Dr. Arthur Perry, who's a sterilization nut, said, look for the peel pack.
That's correct. And there will be an expiration date. You asked that. On the, you know, there's no standard nationally, by the way. There is either a date of sterilization or a date of expiration. And on these peel packs, and that does vary between the facilities, and the Center for Disease Control does not require one or the other. It can be one or the other. So the facility just has to have a standard. Jeff Roizen at the University of Pennsylvania, do you know if there's any standard that they use? Is it the expiration there, or is it the date of sterilization? Do you know?
I don't know, but I imagine it's the date of sterilization.
And generally, if the peel pack is left untouched, the accepted standard is actually a couple of years, Mike. It's a couple of years of sterility in that, as long as it was done properly. And by the way, just to be sticklers out there, in each of those peel packs, there's an indicator, and the indicator says whether it'll turn color if the sterilization has been done properly. You know, it's a lot to ask patients to look for that, but I think the very first time you go to a new dentist in particular, ask these questions, and once you're satisfied, I don't think you're going to have to ask a second time, you'll have a level of trust with that doctor and that dentist. And you know what? Just like the restaurants that have to be graded now for their cleanliness, if patients, if consumers start asking these questions, the sloppy guys also will take notice and maybe clean up their act.
Now, let's talk about, so the things you first look at are the peel pack and the expiration date. What about just asking the dental hygienist or asking the, if you will, the dental assistant, how are things sterilized? Have you ever seen that done, or asking your nurse? Would that work, or would they just cover for the doc, you think?
You know, it's tough. They probably, if it's done in a proper manner, they'll tell you. And if there's some sloppiness, my bet, if they're still working there, Mike, they're going to cover up for the doctor or the dentist, because if they say something to you, they're going to lose their job. Isn't that terrible? But that's a fact of life. So I think you have to go straight to the doctor, establish a good relationship. And again, this particular dentist, he was an oral surgeon. He wasn't that old. You know, I think he's in his 50s. You know, you would really expect better from people. This is how I got interested, by the way, Mike, in regulatory activities. We had a plastic surgeon in my community who did not sterilize his instruments. This guy was a friend of mine. I turned him in to the Board of Medical Examiners. The Board of Medical Examiners told me there was no standard in the state of New Jersey, and they invited me to write a standard because, you know, I've done some bacteriology research. So I wrote the standard. That became an OSHA standard, and it was adopted by four different states. So I know a lot about this, and it's terrible that in 2013 this kind of thing is still going on.
Let's talk about the other, what I would call, atrocious situation, which is, of course, a liposuction in a former patient, former transplant patient, and what you do if you're a patient who has other medical conditions to make sure they're taken account of. So, Arthur, when we come back, let's do that. And we're also going to do oily skin, if we can get them both in 4 minutes. So stay tuned. And by the way, we have a great, just a great tip, 4 surprising ways to keep your brain sharp as the tip of the week this week. So, and Sonar is doing such a great job in engineering after we tried to mess him up with the sound earlier today. We will have 4 surprising ways to keep your brain sharp. We'll be right back. Stay here.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of 2. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in the neck, just
on the jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and need the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You know, Arthur, the last time the Cuse, Syracuse, is going to the Final Four in basketball in this March Madness period, the last time the Final Four went, Jeffrey painted. At least I thought he did, but he couldn't find any body paint, so he wore blue latex, and then he used orange feathers. He said getting that latex off his body, you can tell him, Jeff, was a little painful because it took a bunch of hairs out. Any easy way of getting the latex off?
Oh, my. This one's outside of my area of expertise, thankfully, Mike. I am not a latex guy.
Well, let's go back to what you are. So now this guy who did the liposuction is causing this woman a lot of problems. What do we do? What do you do if you're a patient to make sure that all of these things don't bother you?
Well, Mike, this is another terrible, terrible story. We're hitting on all my pet peeves tonight here. The story is about a 51-year-old woman in Manhattan who our friend Dr. Oz actually did a heart transplant on about almost 10 years ago. And this woman went to some doctor in Manhattan for a liposuction because she saw one of his ads. And this particular guy did something called smart lipo, and I actually call it not so smart lipo. That's a liposuction with a laser, right? But what was really not smart about this is this guy was not a surgeon, Mike. Not a surgeon. Now, his board certification, and he advertised himself as board certified, was in internal medicine. Now, Mike, your son are both board certified in internal medicine. Do you think
he's certified in pediatrics?
I'm sorry, pediatrics. It's close. They're non-surgical specialties. Do you think you, as a board certified internist, should be doing liposuction, a surgical procedure?
Oh,
you're a bright guy.
Not even close. I mean, for me to do you got to be kidding. That would be, I mean, that is malpractice.
It's more than malpractice, Mike. It's, I believe, manslaughter. That's what this guy was indicted on this week, manslaughter. And how appropriate is that? He never did a history and physical, even though that's probably what he's qualified to do, right, as an internist. Never did that. Never learned, or if he did learn, he didn't say that this was a heart transplant patient.
The one thing he knew how to do, he didn't do. Well, now, how do we protect others? What happens if you go for something, even Botox, and they don't bother taking a history? Should you, before they put that needle in you, just say, hey, you didn't bother with a history. You can't be doing this right. I'm walking out.
Exactly. That is correct. Because there is no question, even something as simple as Botox can be a disaster in people with certain neurologic disorders. So certainly, you're absolutely correct. If you walk into a doctor's office, or in these days, unfortunately, a salon, you know, a spa, or a Botox party, and the doctor doesn't examine you and ask questions like what allergies you have, what medications you're on, if the doctor is so slipshod that he doesn't do that, when he's pointing that needle on you, just like before, run real hard. Get out of there. Because that's a dangerous situation, and that means he's not a good doctor by definition, you know, even a small procedure, but heaven forbid a big procedure. So how does someone protect themselves? First of all, if you're having surgery of any type, make sure that your doctor is certified to do that surgery by the right board and has hospital privileges, not privileges in
and
an office or even a surgery
center. How do you do that without offending a whole bunch of people? One of our listeners said, how am I going to ask that?
You're gonna people are gonna have to learn.
Said, by the way, not this one. She's not fast.
They're gonna have to learn. Yeah, you know, people have to learn to open their mouths and not think that they're offending doctors. When you make the appointment, first of all, it's pretty easy in the internet era to check credentials now. You go to the American Board of Medical Specialties website, ABMS, and you put in the doctor's name. And it will say which board. There are 24 boards that the American Board of Medical Specialists recognizes. And the only one that's a plastic surgery board is the American Board of Plastic Surgery. Now, there are other specialties where maybe it's okay, an ophthalmologist to do eyelid surgery, an otolaryngologist to do nasal surgery, things like that. That's appropriate. But if you see that your doctor that you're going to have liposuction with or you want to consult with is board certified in pediatrics, Jeff? I don't think so. I don't think you'd want to do that. Or emergency medicine. Make sure that that doctor has is certified in the right specialty and, critically important, has privileges at a hospital to do exactly the procedure that he or she wants to do on you. And that's a little harder. That you have to ask the office and trust the answer.
Gotcha.
Those are the things, Mike, to keep people healthy.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's now go and talk about oily skin. I think we got 12 seconds, so should we come back and do oily skin next week?
I think we're going to have to put it off one more week.
Okay.
It's a big subject.
We will do oily skin next week. In the meantime, let's do the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this is four surprising ways to keep your brain sharp. Olympic champion skater Apollo Ohno knows the secret to fast, nimble skating is a razor-sharp set of skates. Your brain can learn from that. The secret to keeping it fast and nimble is to sharpen it with some proven but not so obvious steps. One, keep your blood pressure healthy. This is the most important thing you can do, maybe the second most. I'll come back to the most in a second. Decades before memory and thinking problems appear, high blood pressure creates microscopic scarring in the brain. High blood pressure seems to cause tiny damage to arteries that supply blood to white matter, the network of nerve fibers, brain cells, that are communication system. So get your pressure checked and take every opportunity to get it to 115 over 75. Check your vision. You need to keep sharp eyesight to keep Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia at bay. In one recent study, people with poor vision problems who saw an ophthalmologist were 64% less likely excuse me, to develop dementia than those who didn't. Third, get help with depression. Depression is very common. Older guys drink. Women get really sleepy and get really depressed. So major depression nearly triples the risk for dementia. The link might have to do with high levels of stress hormone or the fact that it's just difficult to take care of your health when you're depressed. Either way, you're losing your zest for life. Ask your doctors for help. And the most important thing, play games, not brain games, not games of intellect, but actually do physical activity. Playing games, ping pong, anything that's aerobic, especially not just ping pong, but ping pong's great for balance. Those things help. And listen to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show next week. Thanks, Sonar, for great engineering and you for listening.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet-related. Cleansing opens the door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live, and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's D-H-E-R-B-S.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.